I think we can guess which side Valentina is going to be talking about in this argument. I think we'll kick off straight away. So, Valentin, so who owns the future? Who will win, the startups or the traditional banks? What's your view?
So I think if we come back to the topic, what do you really want from a bank? And if we start with looking at other companies that have done pretty well in other spaces, if you look at Spotify, if you look at Uber, I think all of that is on one side about the service, but it's even much more important that the user experience that they have created. And I think the same is true for retail banking. I think in the future, it's much more going to be about the user experience than about creating a specific financial product. So when you look at our product, we have created a completely mobile-first retail banking product. We started out with a slightly niche customer experience. So we started out with a fully-fledged banking product, simply an account with a card attached. So that was the niche where we created, an exceptional user experience. Now we started to go further, and now we're creating all the products around. But we think that banking has fundamentally changed. We don't believe that the future value of a retail bank will be coming out of its balance sheet. We believe that the future banks, the bank of tomorrow, will be the banks that are able to be one of the apps on your home screen, like Spotify, like Facebook, like maybe Twitter, and some of the others. So I think what we're really focused on is the user experience. And what we're building behind is actually because we don't believe we should be experts in every financial product. And we also think that they are going to be much more a commodity in the future. We are kind of building a platform for the best fintech companies all around the world. So we have recently launched together with TransferWise on the international transfer side. So if you have an account with us and you want to do an international transfer, you can do that international transfer at, on average, 6 times lower cost than with your traditional bank. And we just simply did that by a very fast integration. We didn't have to put up a 600 people team to create that international transfer experience, but we're just opening up that experience with a simple click within your Number 26 app without you as a customer really having to change interface or signing up at any other service. And we're now doing that for saving products, for investment product, for credit product, and for other financial products. And I think that's where we as incumbent, as challenger banks can be much, much better than traditional banks. First, we have a much leaner IT infrastructure. So that means if you look at our operations, we have obviously an IT infrastructure that was built in 2015 and 2016. We use most modern cloud technology, and that fundamentally brings down the cost per account per user. On the other hand, it also gives you the agility to be fast in integrating new products. I think that's one of the big advantages that we have. I think the second big advantage that we focused on is that we build a bank across Europe. Traditionally, you haven't been able to build a bank across multiple countries in Europe because regulation was national. But because of the European Union and the European Payment Directive, you can actually serve the whole European market with one banking license in the back. And that in the end means that you can reach much greater scale with the same overhead and, again, have a big cost advantage. So I think, to summarize that, I think, as I said before and also reflected in our funding round, I think there's still a lot of market share to be won for the challenger banks, not just because they're small, but I think because there's going to be a fundamental shift. And I think most of the traditional banks have a big, big challenge to develop digital products.
Thanks very much, Valentin. So yes, the big banks have a big challenge to develop digital products in good time. So Neil, tell us your views. I mean, if I can mention just before you do that, obviously DBS, if you're not aware, it's a massive, one of the biggest banks in Asia, if not biggest, and you'll correct me if I get this wrong, Neil, based out of Singapore, I think. And you're the chief innovation officer. So you're right at the heart of trying to do the transformation within a big traditional banking structure to make it move faster. So will traditional banks own the future?
Traditional banks are lovely places, full of very nice people, highly collaborative, care about your welfare, and of course they're going to win. Of course they are. Well, let's look at some facts. So the worldwide financial services revenue is roughly $5 or $6 trillion US dollars a year. That's a huge amount of money. And that's why we're seeing a lot of competitors moving into that space. Banks have been very successful at two key things. One is arbitrage in time, i.e. I want to get a house, but I can't afford it now. So the bank manages that and gives you a mortgage. They also arbitrage risk, which means I want an investment option. The bank can manage that risk for me. Or I want to do a payment. The bank manages the risk that gets delivered. I think a lot of these startup banks, especially in the West, have got to a certain size and they haven't managed to get beyond it. Tends to be around 100,000 customers. The cost of customer acquisition is incredibly high. The cost of compliance and risk controls is also incredibly high. And that's where banks can succeed. Banks have huge distribution, but also with that, they have huge cost. And the smart banks are looking at ways of delivering digital-only services by reducing their operational cost and having that saving then return to the customer to give higher interest rates for acquisition. But will banks win or will fintechs win? I personally believe it's either both or none. If we look at, as I said, a lot of the startup banks in the West, about 100,000 customers. I was with the chairman of WeChat Bank at the G20, and WeChat Bank have 30 million customers, and the chairman was apologetic because he says he wants to get to 300 million customers. And so are the most successful startup banks going to be spawned off banks? Are they going to be fintechs? Or are they going to come out of these huge e-commerce giants and tech companies where we tend to see the biggest success in this space?
Thanks very much, Neil. So I'll just come back to you just on that point. So one of the points that I think Valentin would make and is it's about speed of innovation. So startups are doing the sort, you know, number 26 has been around for what, three years, I think, tops, something like that. So you know, speed of innovation. You've got an innovation program at the heart of what you do. What time scale is that? Can banks go fast enough? And you're working for a bank where they get it. What about there are some traditional beasts out there that I think we can all agree don't really get it? Do you think they're really at risk?
Massively at risk, yeah. A lot of banks, you know, the issue isn't that banks need to move into digital. The issue is that digital's moving into banks. And so many banks have a very lightweight digital strategy. They take their current mobile offering, maybe put some peer-to-peer, some social, and release that, and that's their entire digital strategy. That will fail. Digitization is a chance to completely reinvent how finance is done. I personally believe that fintech are not reinventing finance, yeah? Let's get that right. Most fintechs are making the experience better, which is great, taking out friction and taking out cost. I think the next wave we're going to see is where we actually reinvent how finance is done and focus more on what the customer's trying to achieve that isn't a banking service. The agility that a bank needs in this day and age is paramount. A lot of banks still haven't moved to the cloud, still are not using things like agile software development, rapid experimentation. But I think the important thing is to spend time partnering with fintech companies. Banks spend too much time building their own products and services. One way to get agility is actually to license, to partner, to acquire fintech companies and bake them into their strategy.
So I think, yes, and we were listening to the CEO of BBVA earlier today talking about his acquisition strategy, talking about spinning out his VC his VC firm as well. But so, and we'll just come back to that. But just a question of on culture. I think culture is absolutely key if traditional banks are going to win. And I think there are a lot of people out there who would say that big banks changing culture. You know, if you're talking, they're only just about moving to the cloud. Their legacy IT systems going back literally decades. They're all going to fall over, aren't they?
Well, it's also the legacy mindset. But a lot of that, you know, technical debt is very valuable. What we've done is we've cut the bank IT in half, put in an enterprise service bus, and then net new product gets built off the bus, which makes it a lot more rapid. But it's the legacy mindset that's the biggest problems in banks. You know, if executives sit there, that they think they know everything about banking, they know all their customers, they've been in banking 40 years, they've always done it this way, fintech's a fad, then they're not open to new partnerships and understanding what's happening around the world and really get into digital mindset. We, for example, this year will put a quarter of the entire global workforce through an innovation session. That's roughly about 5,000 people. And so that's how you evolve the culture, is doing things at huge scale with your own staff base.
Thanks, Neil. So just picking up on that to you, Valentin. So I suspect the very concept of an innovation session is something that you would find slightly bizarre as a startup, the idea that you would do a session to innovation, because innovation is actually at the very heart of what you do as a startup, and that's why the future belongs to them. Would that be right?
Absolutely. I think the core of our company was always that we started kind of a banking business out of a completely different angle. So when we started the company, no one was actually a real banker. In the meantime, we have some bankers working with us on especially risk products and financial products. But in the beginning, how we structured the user experience, we did that completely from a different angle. We looked at Spotify, we looked at Uber, we looked at more at these companies, and then tried to build the same thing for banking.
What's the biggest problem that you're facing as a startup? I mean, you're scaling fast. How many customers have you got now? Number of customers you have now?
We have 200,000 customers.
200,000 customers and rising fast. And obviously you got a name check with Apple at the MDC recently, funding round. So what's your biggest challenge now as a startup? What's going to slow you down or stop that growth?
So I think in general what we're doing is nothing secret. So every traditional bank and every bank on the German market or on the European market and maybe even worldwide wants to have a great and slick user experience. They want to offer the best product at the fairest price. But I think for us, it's all about execution. So I think our challenge is also going from 200 customers to a couple of millions in Europe and executing well and really putting a product forward to customers that people love. And I think that's what we're really focused on. And that's what makes the difference in the end.
Isn't that one of the problems, though, that the customer size? We were talking earlier when we were thinking about this debate, is that the problem is that the banks have the customers right now, and they're going to have to really seriously mess up because of inertia more than anything else. They're going to have to seriously mess up if they're going to lose them to startups like yourself.
So I think what you have seen with our growth since we have launched 1.5 years back, we one of in terms of growth, we're top three in Germany. In terms of the growth that we've shown over the last year. And all the other banks growing at the same pace spend a couple of 10 millions of euros on marketing. So I think we are at a stage where especially digital natives are really pissed off with their traditional banking experience. Mm-hmm. And that's a big opportunity. And that's mixed with like banking brands that have really suffered over the financial crisis. It gives us just a very big opportunity to win the customers. And I think the market is absolutely ready that people shift their bank accounts.
Mm. So, Neil, to that point, so banking generally can be a bad word for some people. People are ready to move. This is exactly the right time for startups to start stealing all those customers, to start breaking up the monopolies, as it were. How do the traditional banks fight back against that?
Certainly, that's a very Western view as well. They don't dislike banks as much in Asia. I think, you know, certainly historically you know, banks have built processes and systems that suit them. And so customers, you know, have to utilize what the bank mandated. They have no choice. A lot of banks are getting more customer centric and really thinking about the job to be done. What is this customer trying to achieve in their life, and how can we be there with a friction-free offering? My personal view that a lot of fintechs, as I said, are focusing on the experience. The divergence between a bank experience and a fintech experience, I find, in Asia is closing. And so a lot of banks have got design teams. The apps they're producing are getting significantly better. And so what's going to be the competitive advantage of a fintech company? That's my ask. So when the experience is very similar, when the price is very similar, where banks reduce their op cost, wouldn't you prefer to stay with a bank brand, or would you prefer to go and use 10 different fintechs for your financial well-being?
We were talking earlier, do you think the gap between the digital experience provided by traditional, the big financial institutions and the startups is wide in Europe or narrowing, as Neil says it is in Asia?
So I think it's in Europe, what I see at least from the German market, I think it's widening. Yeah, I think we develop at a much faster pace than traditional banks. So I'm not so much afraid of traditional banks keeping up. And I also think user experience is not a one-time thing. It's a thing that goes on all the time. Yeah, it's something that you learn. You cannot just get an external agency, let them make a great app, and then you're innovative for the next 2 years. So it's something that has to go on all the time. And the user data that we're collecting every time, every day, helps us to really also maintain that user experience that is far better than from traditional banks.
Great. Okay. So we're running... Goodness me, we're beginning to run out of time already. So, Neil, just if you one thing for the audience to remember from this, why would you say that traditional banks, you know, the big financial institutions own the future of fintech? What would you say?
I think certainly some of them. You know, there is a misconception that bankers aren't smart. They are very, very smart. Yeah, they have a lot of money. They have a huge install base. Their biggest issue is the ego. And the banks that could reduce their ego and pivot and learn and partner and execute well at pace will be the banks that survive.
Thanks so much, Neil. And final word from you.
So I think coming back to the fundamentals of our business, I think if you can build a bank in Europe cross-border on the most modern infrastructure based on the cloud, that gives you substantial advantages that you then in the end can split up between your investors and between your customers. And in the end, I think if the customer experience also is better, then there's no reason to stick with the old bank. So I think there's going to be major shifts in market share from traditional banks to challenger banks. And I think that's going to be faster than most people expect.
Brilliant. Okay. So we're going to have another quick vote. We'll see if we've changed anybody's minds. So those of you who think that startups will win out in fintech, please put your hand up. Actually, the number's gone down a little bit, I think, probably. Okay, the number who think that traditional banks own the future of fintech will win. And that number's gone up very slightly. Well, actually, no more than very slightly. So, okay, right. So, Neil, you win. Well done. Thank you very much. All right, guys. Thank you. So we're going to be moving on in just a minute. Just thank you very much indeed for your participation in attendance. Last round of applause for Valentin and Neil. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Cheers, mate.